الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the signs of a person becoming mature is that they begin to realize that everything may not necessarily be as you see it. One of the signs of a person becoming mature is that they begin to realize that everything may not necessarily be the way that we see it. There are many examples of this. You can give examples from youth. You can give examples from old age. Just a couple simple examples. As children, children like to watch puppet shows. What happens in a puppet show? Basically, in the old puppet shows, and these don't exist so much anymore, but in the old puppet shows, there would be people, there would be the stage, and then above the stage, there would be these strings, and there would be this person, and he would move his fingers like this, and he would move the puppets up and down, and he would make noises with his mouth, and the kids cannot see the person, they cannot see the hands, they can only see the puppets. And they would look at the puppets and they would become, just very mesmerized by the entire show. And kids would laugh and they would scream and they would be excited by these puppets moving around. Now what excites the child is the fact that they think the puppet has some sort of reality to it. So they're looking at the puppet, they're thinking that the puppet's moving like this and it's speaking, and that actually there's some reality to it. But in the end, when they grow up, they begin to realize that actually it's not the puppet, there's actually a person behind the puppet. And the person behind the puppet is doing this, and as they do this, the puppet's hands are moving, and the puppet's arms and legs are moving, etc. So this is a sign of maturity, basically. A little child can't appreciate that. You can explain to them 10 times that this is just a puppet, there's actually a person behind. They don't understand fully what you're saying. But as they begin to age, and as they begin to mature, then reality sets in, and then they see that, well, actually, this is not the real thing. The real thing is the person behind the puppeteer, the one who's running the puppet. And this applies in many things. It's funny, as you get old, you look at politicians. The young like to look at puppets, the middle-aged like to look at sports, and when you get old, you get caught up in politics. So what do the old people think? They think that they watch these politics and they think that, oh, this person is voting and that person is voting and this person's voting. And behind the scenes, there's all these lobbyists. They're a bunch of puppeteers. What are they doing? They're basically putting money in the pockets of these people's campaigns and sending them to dinner and sending them out to trips with their families and giving them sports tickets. And you can't say that that's not going to influence their vote. It obviously influences their vote. Otherwise, these billions of dollars would not be spent on lobbying. So in a way, as you get older, you begin to realize at some age you think that, wow, look at all these people, they're actually making decisions. And as you get older and more experienced, you begin to realize that the whole place is actually run behind the scenes by a bunch of people with, money coming from special interest groups. So all of this is all basically a sign of a person's maturity. That as a person matures, they begin to realize that that which they thought was evident before them, that actually it's not exactly the way they saw it. Now these are all signs of physical maturity. But the exact same rules, or you can say the exact same paradigm, this applies to our spiritual maturity as well. Now, when we're spiritually immature, when we're spiritually children, we begin to think that actually the world is controlled by the actions of people. We say that he said something bad to me, or she did something wrong to me, or this didn't happen for me, or this happened against me. And we begin to look at the world around us and we begin to think that for somehow or another that this person is hurting me and this person is benefiting me. But what happens to an individual as they spiritually mature is they begin to realize that actually these are just little puppets. And that actually the one running the whole show behind the scenes is Allah. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually the fa'il haqiqi. Fa'il haqiqi is a term in tasawwuf. Term in tasawwuf that we use when a person begins, fa'il haqiqi means that fa'il means the doer. Haqiqi means the true doer. So we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the fa'il haqiqi, meaning that what seems evident to us as an action of a person, actually what's behind the action of the person is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will. And without that, nothing could have occurred. So that what you say is, this person swore at me, this person gave me something good, this person's helping me, this person's hurting me. What we see as the interactions of human beings as spiritually immature, the one who's spiritually mature is actually just laughing because they know that these are just a bunch of puppets, and who's actually in control of the whole show is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so you see that whereas the attention of the spiritually immature is caught up in other people, the attention of the spiritually mature is caught up in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mean, many, many examples of this exist. And the greatest example exists with the Messenger of Allah. I mean, he was the truest of persons who understood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was fa'il haqiqi. You know, when a difficulty would arise, we know very clearly from hadith that any difficulty would arise, the first place Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would go was where? He wouldn't go to the people and to the politicians and say, can you handle this for me? I got a big problem. You got power. That wasn't the place where he went. The first place he went was the musalla. First place he went was a musalla, and at times of difficulty, he would be deep in his prayer. Because he would know. He knew the reality, which was that these are all just people. They have names, and they have positions, and they have ranking. But the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that's in control of everything. And what's the paradigm of the one who's spiritually mature? They know that if the whole world were to gather against them and decide to harm that person, that no harm could come except that Allah permitted that harm. And that if the whole world were to gather together and decide to benefit a person, that no benefit could come except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deemed that person to benefit. So this is the understanding of the people who are spiritually advanced. Now, it's interesting that, you know, people come and they ask me questions or they raise their problems with me. And three or four times people said the same phrase to me this week. And it was just constantly hitting me, this one phrase, the same phrase three or four times was repeated to me. And what was that phrase? People said to me, things aren't going my way. So somebody would come to me, they said, well, I studied so hard, I wanted to take this exam, I took this exam, and it didn't work out. I prayed, I made dua, I asked Allah to guide me, I even gave sadaqah, but it didn't go my way. All right? Now, I'm looking at the person and thinking, what do you mean it didn't go your way? You know, what is your way? Your way is that, so now Allah is mandated somehow, na'udhu billah, to follow you. You prayed to Allah, you gave sadaqah. Now you can tell Allah what he should do, that he should now make things go your way, that now you have to pass the test, right? Or you have to, whatever, your situation in life has to work out. But it doesn't work that way. Things don't go our way, things go Allah's way. And we're happy with whatever way was Allah's way, because in the end, that was the best for us, because that's what Allah dictated. Meaning it came from Allah, so it's for us what we feel is best, because it came from Allah. So this is a very important notion, and this is highly misunderstood among people, even among the righteous. They get so caught up, this person's treating me like this, or this person's treating my family like this, or how come this person speaks to me like this, or how come this person doesn't respect me like this. They're so caught up in what other people are doing that they forget the reality that Allah is the one that permitted them to do that. And that actually what this is all a big test of is not whether or not this person can harm you or hurt you. It's Allah putting you in a circumstance to see, in this situation, do you turn to Allah or do you begin to try to create your little circle of protection or your circle of, reaction to that particular situation? So this is a essential paradigm that we have. And I can't tell you how many times Sheikh Zulfiqar would tell me, would remind me of this simple principle. So many times. I remember one time I was sitting with him. And I've shared this with you before, he had come and he had given a talk and somebody was very critical of something he said in that talk. So not only were they critical, but then they went and they began to put it on blogs and argue about it and make a big ruckus about it. And, you know, for the most part, it just doesn't matter. You know, these are the talking heads of the world. They just, this is what they do. This is their pastime. They find things to be critical about. They never find fault in themselves. They find fault in the rest of the world. You know, that's the biggest sign of spiritual immaturity. So anyway, I most of the time I would just ignore it because it's so obvious. But, you know, this was my teacher involved, and so it was very difficult to swallow. Anyway, I just sat there and watched and watched, and I didn't say anything. And then finally I started thinking, you know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I should say something. So I sat there thinking, and then I happened to get a chance to speak with Sheikh Zulfikar again. And then I said, you know, let me just share this with him. Even though I knew it would hurt him. I knew that if I said this to him, it would hurt him because it would hurt him in the sense that, you know, the people who sacrifice their time for the community, they're highly sensitive to how the community reacts. Not because they may be right or they may be wrong, but because they put so much of their heart into the community that it now is exposed for the community to crack it, you know, to break it. And that's what happens, actually. But that's another separate story. So I just didn't want to tell him. But anyway, I just said, you know, let me just ask him, what should I do? So I spoke to him on the phone and I explained the whole situation, and he just, you know, kind of gave a little bit of a chuckle. And he said that we don't have anything to do. And then I said, well, shouldn't we say anything? He said, no. Huwa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal wakil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the best of protecting friends, and He is the best wakil. He's the best one that represents you. Wakil means lawyer in Arabic, if you want to think about it that way. So what was he basically saying to me? He was saying, why do you have to say anything? My lawyer is already speaking. You know, what does a lawyer tell the defendant? You don't say a word. You know, that's the first thing he tells the defendant. When you go to court, you don't open your mouth at all. I will say everything on your behalf. You just sit quietly. And that's exactly what Sheikh Zulfikar was in that realm. You know, he said, Huwa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal wakil. I don't have to say anything, but Allah will defend me and say whatever I need, you know, create the circumstance that needs to occur in order for the words to be preserved. And subhanAllah, I saw this on many occasions. I remember, I mean, this is kind of a funny story. Maybe I'm even misinterpreting it, but I vividly remember one time we went to sit, and we were in a gathering of all big scholars. And Sheikh Zulfikar was not from that community. Now, you know, it's just human nature that if there's a scholar in a community and the scholar is working on that community, the scholar has his heart is very attached to the community. And it sometimes hurts that scholar when a person comes from the outside because, you know, when the person comes from the outside, everybody's attention goes to the outside person. And of course, they're going to pump up the outside person more than they are going to the local scholar. And it's human nature for the local scholar to say, well, I've been sitting here for 30 years teaching, and now nobody says anything. And all of a sudden, this guy comes and everybody's saying that this is the best thing since sliced bread, you know. So this is human nature. But so anyway, we went to one gathering once, and I kind of felt that situation was present. We were sitting there. And I could feel, I'm immature, so I probably was misinterpreting, but I could feel that the local scholar, you sensed a little bit that the local scholar was a little bit upset that, you know, this sheikh came from the outside and all these people are so excited and here I am and I'm working in this community regularly. So he sat down, Sheikh Zulfikar, and you know, Sheikh Zulfikar began to give a talk, but no proper setup was made. You know, there were many people, many, many big scholars. These were not normal people. These were all scholars sitting in the room. And Sheikh Zulfikar was sitting. It was, you know, a decent-sized room. And he was speaking, and there was no mic. Now, you know, I started thinking in the back of my head, being the immature fool that I am, that, you know, oh, well, they should have provided a mic at least. You know, this is an outside scholar. He's speaking. Everybody wants to hear. So there was no mic. And whatever the situation was, it just worked out that way. So Sheikh Zulfikar is speaking, and he's speaking very quietly. You know, he's not even trying to force his voice forward and trying. He's just very quietly speaking. Nobody can hear. Nobody can hear. Literally, the guy in front cannot even hear. I'm sitting here. I'm barely able to hear. And in my back of my mind, I'm thinking I should nudge him and make him speak louder because nobody can hear. And what he was saying, I'll tell you that the talk he gave that was about a 20-minute what he said, I had never heard anything so deep in my life. It was basically about the necessity for scholars to recognize that out of the most difficult situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually creates your victory. It was very deep, very deep. I could never quote this talk again in my life. I mean, I wish I had it recorded. We used to call these unplugged. Unplugged means that it was not recorded. There was no mic, nothing. He was just speaking out of his heart. I could just translate the notion for you, just very simply, just because it was such a deep talk. It was examples from the Quran, three or four, in which he was highlighting that the same thing that appeared to be the most detrimental ended up being the thing that raised the community to the highest levels. I'll give you one simple example. So one example that he gave in this talk, he was speaking about Musa alayhi salam. And he said that when Musa alayhi salam was born, that Musa alayhi salam's mother was deathly afraid of the water. Right? Because she had to put her child in water and she had to put her child in this basket. And this basket essentially was going to be floating on water, and at any moment Musa alayhi salam could be drowned by the water. Alright? So he was highlighting that the most fearful thing in the beginning of the life of Musa alayhi salam was the water. And it was the same water from the same river that Allah drowned the Pharaoh with. SubhanAllah, just think about that. That the same thing that was the most fearful at one point became the exact thing that Allah used to finish the enemy at the end. Ajib. And it wasn't one example. It was three or four examples, and just so beautifully and eloquently constructed. I have no words for that talk that day. All right. And what happened was, in the first couple of minutes, he was just talking about, he happened to just be talking about his teachers and his background, and he was basically connecting himself back to his chain. And I don't know, out of the blue, somebody came with a mic system, just a tiny mic system. So that right when he got to this point where he was giving this key part of the talk, the mic came. Nobody requested it, nobody asked for it. I have no idea where it even came from. It was not anybody local. It was not any of these people. Somebody happened to have it in their car or something. They ran, they brought it, they put it there, and it was the exact amount of voice necessary to hit the end of the room. It was not very loud, it was not very light. So he started speaking, and that was just at the beginning when he got to this point that needed to be given. And the way that came out, you could not have written that in 20 years, let alone say it off the, you know, impromptu like that. But it was just the most amazing. I mean, such that the whole scene is embedded in my brain to this day, just exactly how it occurred. And then from that, you know, then we got in the car, and I was sitting next to Sheikh Zulfikar. I happened to be driving, and I said, you know, I said, Hazrat, I never heard anything like that before. I've heard you for many years, but I never heard that. I never heard anything like that in my life, and I never heard from you anything like that before. And then he basically said the exact same thing. Huwa ni'man mawla wa ni'man wakeel. You know, these are the same phrases that these people repeat, because they're totally into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They see the world exactly the way it is, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in control, and that there's no need to say anything more, Allah will defend you. Even a better example than that, you know, greater than any of the stories I can tell, is the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, we all vividly know that on one occasion, the Prophet alayhi salam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were sitting together, and a man came and began to curse Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu with lies, with blatant lies, in the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you know that nothing was more valuable to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu than the smiling face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to bear that was just too much. He quietly bared it, was bearing it with patience, bearing it with patience, bearing it with patience. The man is just blatantly criticizing and lying about Hazrat Abu Bakr in his face, in front of the Prophet alayhi sallam, and he's sitting quietly and taking it. Until finally, it just got to the point that he couldn't tolerate anymore. He said one word in defense. Minimal. He gave a minimal defense. The Prophet ﷺ's face changed, and he got up and he left. Now Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was shocked that here he's sitting quietly, quietly, quietly. The man is blatantly lying about him. And then all of a sudden, when he makes one word of defense, minimal defense, the Prophet ﷺ gets up and leaves. So then he went to Rasulullah ﷺ, because he couldn't bear to see that face. You know, that became embedded in his brain. So he went to Rasulullah ﷺ and he asked what had happened. He said, Ya Abu Bakr, when you were quiet, the angels were defending you. And when you said something, they left, so I left. Ajib. Huwa ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal wakeel. See, the Prophet ﷺ was exactly able to see what type of defense Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes for the people of belief. So what we have to recognize is that the world doesn't have to go the way we want it to go. The world goes the way that Allah wants it to go. We have to simply be content with the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated it to be. Now you think, I mean, Yusuf alayhi salam, If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make an example, look at the example of Yusuf alayhi salam. Right? I mean, he basically was put in this well with the intention of being killed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended him to become the king of Misr. You know, the Aziz of Misr. And so look at the extremity. Never did he complain that I'm in jail. In fact, he said, put me in jail. The Sharia is better to me. You know, it's better to me that the laws of Allah be preserved than it's better for me to go to jail than to risk the laws of Allah being broken. Put it that way. So he patiently bore going to jail, patiently bore going, being thrown in a well, just comfortable waiting for whatever Allah had dictated, and he was always comfortable and at peace with himself. So much so that the man came and asked the dream. He gives the interpretation of the dream and he says, tell your king about this. The man himself forgets and he doesn't remind him. You know, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam didn't send a reminder and say, remember I told you about that dream, did you tell him yet? He himself remembered much later that I have to tell you about this dream, this whole story. And then Yusuf alayhi salam was freed. And even when he was freed, he said, I'm not coming out until you establish that I was innocent. Then I'm going to come out. You know? And that's a lengthy, lengthy discussion. But the point again is all borne down to a very, very simple notion, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fi'al haqiqi. Allah is in charge of everything. And we have to realize that we should be caught up in Allah rather than being caught up in the creation and the means that Allah has established. Alright? Yeah, you could say that, oh, it rains because of clouds, so I'm going to create a machine that makes clouds. It rains because Allah wants it to rain. Now, He uses the clouds as a means. And so when Allah wants the rain to come, He'll send the clouds. So we see that the universe rotates, but it rotates through the command of Allah. And that every mechanism that Allah has established is only useful because Allah has established it. So when we take medicine, we don't believe that there's cure in the medicine. We believe that Allah put cure in the medicine. And that's why we take the medicine. Right? So this is our understanding that Allah is the fa'il haqiqi. He is the true fa'il. Now when we're spiritually immature, then we're caught up. Oh, he said something bad to me. Oh, she said something mean to me. Oh, he didn't do this nice for me. So we're very caught up in people. We're very caught up in people, and it's the biggest waste, because actually, were we to have turned to Allah and begged from Allah and Allah alone with sincerity that these people change around us, they would have changed. The place to turn was Allah. And the test actually is that do we turn to other people or do we turn to Allah? Now you see that these so many people nowadays are caught up. You know, it's just the most ajeeb thing. They say that, look at the example of this community. They've raised and elevated themselves by creating political action committees. Okay? Fine, they created political action committees. But are they practicing their deen? That's the question, you know? At what expense? For us is our deen and the pleasure of Allah. And Allah will always preserve the community if the community is turned towards Allah. And if the community is not turned towards Allah, then we're left to our own means. And we know that when we're left to our own means, we're completely handicapped and worthless. We can't do anything right. We can't tie our shoes right if we don't realize why we're doing what we're doing. So our treasure is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, this is much more easily said than done. Meaning, it's very hard when somebody harms you to smile back in their face and realize that actually this came from Allah. It's very hard to do that. Very few people can do that. But how do you become among those that do that? Through your dhikr. What happens when a person does dhikr is that they begin to see that these are all puppets. And it's just amazing. When you get to a certain level in your spiritual development, that you look at everybody and you feel bad almost. Because they're just little puppets and animals, and they're just playing out their own little desires without understanding the whole grand scheme of what's going on. And such big deals are made about what people say and what people do and how people act that Allah is forgotten in the picture. So when a person begins to do dhikr, and they do abundant dhikr, then they begin to see the world as it exists. Allah gives them vision. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, he made a very interesting statement. اتقوا فراسة المؤمن فإنه ينظر بنور الله. That be wary of the insight of the believer. Because he sees with the light of Allah. He sees with the light of Allah. Meaning that he sees things as they truly are. In the light of how they really exist. In the reality of Allah being the one in control. And so this actually is the sign of a believer. Somebody harms them, they just smile. They laugh. You know, like if your little kid comes to you and says, "You smelly." You laugh. Look, people are laughing. They say, "Oh, yeah, you're smelly." Okay. Right? Because what is this person saying? This is just a child. He has no idea what he's saying. He just says funny things like that. And if somebody, now if a person, another person comes to you, you know, they happen to be your age, and they say, "You're smelly," or they say something bad about you, whatever it might be, and you will look at them and you will laugh because you know that they're spiritually immature. You know, this is the way you see it. So this is what we have to begin to recognize, is that the world around us is actually controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is the Fa'il Haqiqi. And this comes through abundant dhikr. Abundant dhikr. I cannot tell you the number of times Shaykh Zulfiqar would say to me that you should recognize that Allah is Fa'il Haqiqi. How many times he said this phrase to me, Allah is Fa'il Haqiqi, Allah is Fa'il Haqiqi. So sometimes things wouldn't go the way we want them to go. Allah is Fa'il Haqiqi. Radina billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi Muhammadin nabiyya. Such a beautiful statement. It's a dua that we're taught to recite. Radina billahi rabba. We're happy with Allah, He's our Lord. Whatever He decides, He decides. As long as He keeps us believing and He keeps us in the, among those who are destined to go to Jannah. Radina billahi rabba wa bil islami deena. And we are so content with Islam as our deen. We don't want any other way of life, nor do we want to be challenged by having to even think about another way of life. وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. And we are content with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our messenger. We would not give that up. We would not give that up. You can take anything else you want from us, but don't take our Allah, don't take our Islam, and don't take our messenger. Subhanallah. Nothing else matters. رَضِينَا بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينَا وَبِ مُحَمَّدٍ نَبِيًّا. Such a powerful dua, such a powerful dua. And this really, these are our three cloaks. You know, this is our clothing. The rest of the world can go. Doesn't matter. But these three we cannot live without. We cannot live without Allah. We cannot live without this deen. And we cannot live without Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's pleasure and his sunnah. Everything else is extra. Everything else is extra. You eat some days, you don't eat some days, you'll be okay. You have the house you want, you don't have the house you want, you'll be okay. You're driving the car you want, you don't drive the car you want, your car gets in an accident, it will be okay. People can come and say funny things about you. People can criticize you. People can look at you funny. You'll survive. But if these three things disappear, then we're lost. If any one of these three things disappear, we're absolutely lost. There is no replacement. There is no replacement for Allah. There is no replacement for this deen. There is no replacement for our connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to perform abundant dhikr. Abundant dhikr. And when we feel that we are being swayed by the motions around us, the world is undulating and we feel like we're being moved with that undulation, then that's the time to increase our dhikr, to turn back to Allah, to begin to be more consistent in the masjid, to begin to pick up the Quran and recite it. That's the time that we should do that. That's not the time that we should begin jumping up and down with the waves. If you jump with the wave will take you. That's, you know, when the big wave is coming, that's when you hunker down and you make sure that the wave just passes over you. So that's when a person really, when they see that they're being challenged by a situation, they don't turn and start plotting and planning, now I'm going to do this back to this person. And just wait. This person did this to me. Tomorrow when I get the chance, I'm going to double it. That's not the response. The response is, let me put my head down because this is a big wave and I don't want to be knocked over by this wave. And let me get tight and close back in my formation of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the response. That's the response. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to be among those who see Him as ni'ma al-mawla wa ni'ma al-wakil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to be able to see that He is actually fa'il haqiqi. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, make us among those who are pleased with Him, with Islam, and with His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.